Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Ryan and Beth from the Paranormal Tea Podcast. They cover horror and ghost stories, folklore, and they have a little bit of horror movie stuff in there as well. Now, obviously, scare and haunts and horror and Halloween, all that, it covers a broad range of subjects. Here on the Scare Trap Podcast, we like to heavily dedicate our time to the scare attractions, the haunts, houses, a little bit of movies, and immersive theatre. Now, the Paranormal Tea Podcast gives you the flip side of the scare world when it comes to actual ghost stories, proper folklore. They really do their research and go into what sort of ghosts and beings and paranormal activity they can find with each individual attraction that they go to. I say attraction, individual location they go to whilst recording the Paranormal Tea. I really like the way they choose their next location. I'm not going to give it away now. Make sure you listen to this episode to find out how they do that. It's a cool little technique that they do to make sure it's fresh and make sure they're going somewhere new each and every time they record an episode. Now, their next episode is going to be out on the 2nd of the July at 6 p.m. So wherever you're subscribed here to Scare Track, make sure you subscribe into the Paranormal Tea as well. Their main platform is anchor.fm/theparanormaltea. So without any further ado, I think it's time to take you to the interview with Ryan and Beth from the Paranormal Tea Podcast. Please bear in mind we have only a couple of points where there's a few audio issues, but other than that, the whole episode plays out just fine. So let's take you to the interview with Ryan and Beth from the Paranormal Tea.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am here with the team behind the Paranormal Tea. I'm here with Beth and Ryan. Guys, welcome to the Scare Trap Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That was a great opening, that was. Well done.
You made us sound very professional.
You did?
Well, you've got a professional setup there. I understand you've had to tape your mic back together, but as long as I can hear you, that's all right. That's okay. Yeah.
You've got to let us know if you can't hear us, and then we'll fix it with more tape.
We've been exposed.
we got to do that first thing, really. So, the Paranormal Tea. Let's talk about all the horror and ghost stories podcasts that you guys have recently set up as a duo together. First of all, who's more so into ghosts? Who was the one that introduced the other to this sort of supernatural world?
Well, I think we both...
Or were you both into it?
We're both into it, but I had to give Ryan motivation to do anything in life. So I had to motivate him to start this podcast, really. Yeah.
And when she means motivate me to start the podcast, she means motivate me to sit there and just respond.
Speak, yeah.
Just respond occasionally.
But you know. I think we're both interested in the paranormal in the first place. Yeah.
Well, that's good. The fact that you're both interested in the subject genre definitely helps. But it seems like you've got a similar relationship here to myself and Hannah. Beth, I'm you. Ryan, you're Hannah. Basically, we do all the hard stuff and the research and the important bits. And now and again, you'll just reply with a, yeah, it was good, or yeah, it was scary sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's on it.
There we go. So, guys, if you like listening to how Scare Track works out, you'll like how the Paranormal Tea works out. So, Paranormal Tea. If anyone's listening now and they're not quite sure exactly what it's all about, how would you explain your podcast?
So we basically tour the country via podcast of different ghost stories that are in small towns. And we normally have about 3 ghost stories, or sometimes it's witches, it's folklore, or like...
The way we decide where we're going is you've got to blindfold each other, not in a weird way. And then you've got to stick a pin onto a map, and wherever the pin lands is where we're going to do our story. So there's no real like method to where we're going. And we just thought it'd be quite cool because... like, we've landed in some pretty interesting places, and we've also landed in some places where it's difficult to even get one story. Yeah. You know, you've got a population of 100 people. So. But
That's quite a cool method in the fact that you haven't thought, right, let's do here first, here next, here there. That's probably a complete opposite method to anyone else.
Yes, it was more my idea.
You're such a liar. the idea that I created was off of, what's that film?
My idea.
No, it wasn't. It was the one where they killed about lesbian vampire killers.
It's called Lesbian Vampire Killers?
That's the one, yeah. So they throw a dart at the map and then they go, we'll go to that town. That was where I got the idea from.
And a great shout out for the amazing film, which was Lesbian Vampire Killers, which you would have thought had, you know, 3 of my favourite things, yet still... Anyway.
Why killers are one of your favourite things.
So the Paranormal Tea, like you say, you have a great sort of way of finding new locations. Have you ever thought, like, say you're doing these pins to the wall and you go to a place where you are having a struggle to find just one story about it, would you then maybe do 2 in one episode, 2 locations, or do you just focus on that one episode?
Place that the pins landed, but sometimes we have to increase the radius of where the pins landed, normally going to like the nearest city. So when we say that we get an area, I mean, like, our hit rate's probably only about 5% of the time that we get it bang on that area, because as you know, ghosts don't tend to just pop up randomly in small towns. You have to go out and find them pretty much.
So when we say, like, for example, we've got a story in Shropshire, it might be in Birmingham, but yeah, it's close enough.
But it's close. And there's no sort of Google for ghosts, really, isn't there? Although you've got to do quite a bit of research. You can't just go, ghosts near me, or ghosts here, or ghosts like that. How do you sort of, when you've, I'm just imagining it in my head now, you've got your pin, you put it on a map. How do you then research that area? Is it mainly heavily, obviously, over the internet? Do you have to go old school and get books in or anything like that? How do you find all these stories?
Now I'm having to, like, think about how I actually do the Paranormal Tea.
I can't answer because I don't do any of the research.
Most of the time it's like a keyword, like our next podcast is in Lancaster, so it would be like haunted locations in Lancaster, and then it's more like obviously big castles or pubs that tend to be the things that are haunted. So if there's like a castle in that area, they normally have at least one ghost story in that castle.
Right, okay.
But it's look at the draw most of the time. And then if it's not in that area, we have to go and Google other areas. And then, yeah, it's all over the place sometimes. Yeah.
And obviously, as time has gone on, you're what, 10 episodes in now, did you say?
Yeah, just on number 10.
Yeah, so you're 10 episodes in. Have you found it sort of easier that you've come into some sort of a pattern now or a schedule on how you're doing what you do it? Or is it still just a little bit, let's go crazy, let's put the pin in the map and just see how it plays out?
I think most of the time, yeah, especially our latest episode where Ryan decided that he was going to be the one that took over and seeing how difficult it was to actually find all these ghost stories. But he got all of them handed to him, because obviously that's how Ryan operates. He just gets everything thrown at him in life, and it just happens magically.
Well,
so,
I am just one of those lucky few,
So at the moment, it's a little bit where, like, finding our feet in and, like, how we're going to move forward and how we're going to make the podcast better and stuff like that.
We bought a whiteboard.
Definitely.
And we write down what we're going to do on it every day of the week. So
that including things like do dishes and iron my shirt and cook me, like, does Ryan have to cook you dinner every other day, which means it's a takeaway, or, you know, what is it?
It's pizza that night when Ryan.
Pizza that night when I
cook. So, with the paranormal tea, you gotta tell me, where did the name come from? I understand paranormal, you do ghost stories, horror stories, folklore, that sort of thing. Why over a cup of tea?
Well, this is quite interesting because I had to have this battle with Ryan, and I don't want to be offensive here, Mikey, but I think it's a, like, older people don't understand this thing. Because Ryan...
Wow, okay. Oh, we're going there, Beth, we're going.
Older people.
Well, so if there's anybody listening to the Scare Track who's under the age of, like, probably 22, I would say, they'll know what spilling the tea means.
What? I know what the tea means.
Yeah, but Ryan...
Give me the gossip. Okay, all right.
Ryan doesn't know what it is, and I had to explain it to him, and then when he went, that doesn't make sense, I was like, well, that's what it's being called, because I've already made our logo, so...
Why do only under 22-year-olds say spill the tea?
Because it's a modern thing.
Is it? Is it a modern thing, Mikey?
Yeah.
I don't believe
that. Well, I'm not very modern, but I do know spill the tea. I mean, I'm offended because now I feel a million years old. But okay, so I understand what you're trying to say. So it's like spill the tea, give me the gossip, but give me the paranormal gossip. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. See?
I wanted to call it the paranormal beer, but
no, that wasn't allowed.
It wasn't allowed. You've been outvoted by Beth.
Outvoted, by Beth. That's how it normally works.
Fair enough. And have you got anything that sort of jumps out to mind of some of your favourite stories that you've come across, or some that you knew already to which why you got into this sort of stuff? What's a ghost story that really sticks with you?
Oh, the one in Olney.
Yeah.
We had one of our stories on our podcast was about the devil who visits the town of Olney. And he had a nosy neighbour. For some reason, he was just living in this apartment, and an old lady lived next to him. And she kept on peering her head out of the window, and he got really annoyed, so he made her grow horns, and then she was stuck in the window frame. Just, yeah.
Okay.
he
gave her horns.
He gave her huge horns, so then she couldn't get her head out of the window frame. She was... just permanently stuck spying on him after that.
Wow. What a weird thing to make someone have.
Yeah.
Not like gouge their eyes out or anything like that. I'm going to make you stare at me for even longer.
It is the devil. He's got to come up with some creative ways to punish people after many centuries.
It did make you wonder, though, like, if it was actually a true story, wouldn't there be a skeleton somewhere if somebody with giant hands?
Very true.
But nobody's found the skeleton.
Unless it's covered up. So. That's a lot of things. Do you find a lot of things that potentially you feel there could be more to the story, but things are covered up a little bit?
Yeah, because Beth doesn't research me enough. So when you have an actual question, you answer. It's not a big cover-up.
Or I think that, if anything, more of the time, it's that they've fabricated some of the information.
Right, okay.
Yeah, a lot of it's happening. Yeah.
And as stories go on, they change and twist. It's a bit of a Chinese whispers sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's probably always about five different versions of the same story.
Yes, good point. Do you ever go to one of these locations and feel that you've ever seen a ghost, or even when you haven't been podcasting, have you felt that you've... Obviously, here on Scare Track, we talk more so about pretend ghosts and pretend vampires, and we're very fake and theatrical, whereas you're trying to look for, you know, something that truly is paranormal and different. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you've gone, oh my God, I think I just seen a ghost?
Not me personally, but Beth thinks she sees them every day.
I could tell you probably an hour's worth of stories, I imagine, which most people would think are probably just bullshit.
I'm happy for you to tell me one or two of your faves.
Well, so when you talk about going to different places, before we started the paranormal team, I think, which is probably what kind of inspired us to do it, we used to go to places around, like, the Shropshire area that were, per se, haunted. And I remember one time, I say, like, saying to Ryan, when you had, like, one of those gut feelings that you just saw something, like, you chilled right down to the core.
Lillyshaw Abbey, which is, it's like 10-minute drive out of Telford.
There's apparently at Lillishall Abbey a monk that walks around the grounds. And I was like, to Ryan, I 100%, I swear on everything, I definitely just saw one. And I was like, we need to go. So, like, I say that we want to see all these paranormal things and we're investigating them, but to be honest, I don't really want to see any of them. I'd rather just read about it.
You're happy to read about it and know that it's there, but you're quite happy for them to not touch you on the shoulder or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't stand in the corner of the room when I'm sleeping, you know?
Yeah. That's the scary part, isn't it? Don't get me wrong. We cover more the fake side of things and theatrical side of stuff, but I've been on a few ghost hunts, and sometimes when you're hearing the stories are great and they're really immersive and they're terrifying, but when they're like, so who wants to go into this locked cell by yourself for 20 minutes and we'll come back for you later? I am not the one putting my hand up. No way am I going in there. Why would I want to do that? Let Karen go in. Karen can go in and we'll come back for her later.
I've got a complaint. I won't speak to the manager, please.
I did not see a single ghost with any manners in there. Anyway, Karen.
I didn't even say hello.
Go on, give us another one there, another ghost story that you feel when you've seen or felt something.
So another one is Ryan's house in Telford is also haunted.
Oh, okay.
And you have stories when you were younger you thought you saw something.
Yeah, but like everyone thinks they see something out the corner of their eye, because I always thought you could see someone who was like really tall and like completely like silhouetted in black, and it was almost like he'd be really tall and almost kind of like wearing a top hat, and it was just the thing I could see him in the crack of like a slightly open door, just moving about in a room, but never like saw anything full on. But you thought you saw something.
Yeah, because it's the thing with like true ghost stories, it's never like Insidious or The Conjuring or anything. It's like you see it in the corner of the right and they're normally just minding their own business. So like when we're telling the stories on the paranormal tea, it can be very underwhelming. It'd be like, they walked up the stairs. Like, great. Yeah. That's what happens. Like, in reality is what they say. So a similar thing with, like, Ryan's was I saw out the corner of my eye going past the door, like, practically, like, running past the door, this, like, tall black figure that was higher than the door frame that ran past it, and I was sat in his bed and I was like, what the hell was that? And then the dog starts barking at the landing and would not shut up, and as everyone says, dogs have this sixth sense. So I just stayed in the room and didn't move. It wasn't like a horror film where I went and checked out. I was like,
I'm staying right here,
they'll stay here. Like,
it is crazy.
I'm gonna close the door and the dog's on its own.
See you later, dog. I know what I mean, though. It can instantly scare you. I've had a few moments where you never know whether it's your mind over what your heart's saying or vice versa, but I've you know, been in certain places where I've then run downstairs and I feel like I've got either sweats or I'm shaky or I've got goosebumps. That's always when I think, oh my God, something's just happened. And it's not just a, oh, someone's walked over my grave sort of thing. It's a actual sort of experience where you're like, oh my, holy shit, I totally think I just saw something. And when you've got things to sort of do it as well, like my mum told me a story of when she used to live at her house with my grandparents, and a door would open and then you can just blame that on the wind or whatever, an old drafty house. But then the dog's head just followed something all the way across the room, and then the next door slowly opened. Again, if you wanted to, you could say bit of wind, the dog saw a fly and a bit of wind. But my mum was adamant there was something there, because the doors just slowly opened. The dog slowly watched the whatever it was go across. And there's been times where I felt like I've seen something. Again, it's very sort of corner of your eye, but visual enough to know that there was something there. And I think those are sometimes the scariest points, aren't they? Because it's like, if you physically actually did see what was there, maybe it wouldn't scare you as much. It's more of a case of, what is it? And then your mind can start wondering. And the fact that you both have a similar sort of story in the same place, did you sort of confer afterwards? Think like, that's the guy that used to watch me over my bed. What are you doing with her?
That was little five-year-old Ryan's ghost.
Don't steal my ghost.
He hunted me first. I was his first. I think always the thing though with like the paranormal world is that you spend more time trying to convince other people that what you saw was real. And like when we're looking at stories, sometimes we're like, oh, well, this is what one person said, and it could have been this and it could have been that. But when you start to hear like 5 or 6 people saying the same thing,
yes,
that have never heard of it before, then you're like, well, there must be some sort of level of truth to this story now.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't say I'm a skeptic, but a lot of the stories don't convince me. But then also I've never seen anything myself. So I suppose I probably would look like a skeptic, but I do like believe that there's something after death.
That's got to be quite a good dynamic to have between the two of you on the podcast, as such as there's someone who's obviously very heavily, Beth, yourself, into this sort of thing, and it's more so your forte, and although Ryan believes, it's cool that he might be slightly the debunker in the group. Maybe if you thought you saw something, he could go, that's just the tire marks from the car that was here last night. I don't know. But I suppose that means that your podcast has an element of authenticity to it. You're not just a couple of people going, oh my god, you see that ghost? I totally saw that ghost. Oh my god, it was a ghost. No, it was, I don't know why you were both American as well, in a really bad horror movie made in the 80s, but it's cool to have a little bit of a dynamic. I find it here with the podcast when we go through obviously very different experiences to yourself, but still we both have very different thoughts and thought processes on what we've just experienced. So I guess that's the same when it comes to spooky boogie ghost.
And I reckon that I was just going to say, I reckon that your mum's dog didn't actually see a ghost. I reckon that your mum's dog is telepathic. And it opened the door and then just looked across the room and opened the other one. No ghost involved.
Yeah.
Debunked.
What she didn't mention is that the dog then looked at my mum and gave her a cheeky wink. It's going, magic. Give me a treat. Right. So you reckon that rather than there being ghosts, you reckon dogs could be telepathic? Now 100%. That's just
100%.
That is up for debate.
Yeah, that
isn't
seems
it?
So much more logical than people dying and then walking the earth again.
Yeah,
dogs being telepathic. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Yeah, there's never been a ghost. It's just dogs have been fucking with us for so long.
And then they telepathically talk to each other, going, "Did you see that idiot? He thought he was a ghost."
I've never trusted dogs. Oh, wow. Well, we've basically, between the three of us, in 20 minutes, have managed to figure out where ghosts really come from. And it's dogs. So
nobody,
fair play on that one.
Nobody needs to be scared. If they don't have a dog in the house, you're probably not haunted, so it's fine.
It's
if you have got a dog, you have to watch out.
Do you reckon they play up to it as well? They're like, humans think we've got this sixth sense, so I'm just going to stare in this corner and bark.
Dogs just being so nasty to us. Anyway. Right, so you mentioned your next episode. Would you say it was Leicester Way?
Lancaster, yeah.
So what stories so far have you found out about there that you're going to be exploring?
Oh, we want a sneaky little preview.
Just a sneaky preview. Sneaky preview.
Do I have to cover my ears? Because I always have the authentic
reaction.
Yeah,
Ryan has authentic reactions. You have to cover your ears so that I can let Mikey and the Scare Track listeners in.
I can see Ryan is covering his ears quite well. So, authenticity.
So, in our Lancaster stories, we have a large amount of witch trials were done in the area.
Okay.
So, we're going to be exploring some witch trials and then what's happened after the witch trials. And we also have a talking cat.
A talking cat. So it's not just the dogs that have been battered.
Not just dogs. It's actually the cats as well.
Black cat? Is it all black cat?
Oh, I think it was actually ginger. So.
Oh. Witches with ginger cats. How Hollywood changed everything, eh? Sweet. Okay. So Ryan, it's safe to come back now. There he is. He's back. That sounds pretty cool. Pretty exciting then. So how can people listen to your podcast? I'm guessing it's on all the same platforms that we're on.
Yeah. So we're on Spotify, Anchor, and I think it's Podcast Addict is the third other option as well.
awesome. It's always good to be in a few different places, but obviously Anchor FM is one of your main ones, and that's your main site, Anchor FM, anchor.fm/theparanormaltea. And what are all your social media pages so people can be following you on the socials?
We're also on Instagram, it's our main platform, and Facebook at The Paranormal Tea, all one word as well.
Awesome. So make sure you're following, liking on the social media, The Paranormal Tea on Instagram and Facebook. Of course, I'll be putting those in the show notes below, so you can just click those links and go straight and make sure you give them a like, a follow, especially Instagram. That's where I see you guys are most active. At the moment, you're checking out some scary films as well.
Yeah. Ooh. So I did my 13 Days of Horror, nice. Where I just picked horror films that I thought were cool. Some are really good, some are really bad, and I'm trying to recommend them on a day by day basis.
That's where Ryan's work finally comes in, as far as reviews.
I did get some work for that one.
Yeah, but it's good to be able to have multiple layers to your product as such. Like, we primarily do scare attractions, but we'll also do a bit of live theatre, a bit of immersive theatre, zombie chases, that sort of thing. So that's that you're, although very heavily on the horror and ghost stories, be that ghost stories, horror movies and folklore, it is cool that you've also got the other side of things, which is more fictional, where you're checking out the horror films. Do you have a favourite horror film between you both?
Oh, well, we both watched The Conjuring last night, and now I can't walk around the house on my own because I'm already on edge.
Okay.
So yeah, I like The Conjuring too.
I think that's probably both of our favourites. The one that actually scares us, whereas the rest were just there predicting the whole plot line to it all.
Yeah, definitely
yes,
The Conjuring.
Yes, I feel... I totally get what you're saying there. When it comes to me and Hannah is the horror film buff. She knows her stuff when it comes to horror films. She's been watching them since she was six. That's... terrible parenting, but
that's a scary 6-year-old. That
she was watching Hellraiser at 6 years old, and it really does answer a lot of questions I've had. She's very heavy on the horrors, and she's trying to get me into it as well. And I would say, yeah, in fairness, The Conjuring, pretty bloody scary, not gonna lie. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit when she's on top of that closet, isn't it?
Yeah, me though. I wouldn't go to any of the scare attractions. I think we went to one in Shrewsbury Prison, and that was enough for me for the rest of my entire life.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll do horror movies all day, but not scare attractions.
Like, don't come near me with your creepy face and your creepy makeup. Just stay away, please.
It's crazy, actually, thinking about that, in the fact that you guys love to go to these, you know, real-life haunted places, whereas I would find that terrifying, yet with a scare attraction, you guys would... don't like the idea of that, whereas to me it's second nature.
Because the real ghosts don't actually want to scare you.
They just walk around doing their business, whereas the scare actors, they want to scare you. They go to seminars to scare you, and it's like, no, stay away, thank you.
Yeah, but how about one day one of these ghosts turns out to be a ghost that actually does want to hurt you or haunt you, whereas if you're at a scare attraction, you know that's just a lad in some makeup.
He's probably studying like drama at uni or something.
Exactly. It's all too real. It's all too real. What a wasted degree that was of mine. Anyway. Awesome. I think that brings us to a nice little conclusion then, really. I mean, a huge thank you for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast, talking all about The Paranormal Tea. Once again, check them out over on Instagram and Facebook. It's at The Paranormal Tea, Horror and Ghost Stories Podcast. Before we do end this, why did you choose to go podcast rather than, say, written form or vlogging? Why did the podcast platform seem best suited to you guys?
Well, I mean, mainly we didn't go down the video route because I'd have to put my makeup on every time to film.
That's why I do a podcast.
And Ryan has to put clothes on. Yeah. So we do a podcast because then we can sit there looking as ugly as we want and nobody has an idea at all.
Genius.
You know what? You've given my game away. That's why I do a podcast. Like, I've been going 5 years and no one's realised it's because I actually can't be bothered to put clothes on or do my makeup.
Yeah. Are you even dressed under there?
Well...
Yeah,
I've only let you see the top half of me. Awesome. I think that's the perfect way to end it. We've realised that dogs are playing with us. We know there's no ghosts because dogs are the crazy people. and that The Conjuring is absolutely batshit scary. So, Beth Owen from the Paranormal Tea, thank you so much for coming on the Scare Trap podcast. Stay safe during these crazy lockdown times, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon, Mike. Thank you very much. You're listening to Scare
Trap. So, there we go, folks. A huge thank you to Ryan and Beth for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast from the Paranormal Tea. I actually know Beth and Ryan quite well personally over the last few years, and I'm really glad that they've decided to do something that they both love with the Paranormal Tea podcast. Make sure you check it out. Like I say, their next episode is going live at 6 p.m. on the 2nd of July, so in just a couple of days time if you're listening on the day of recording. So yeah, go over, check them out, be sure to subscribe to them over on their social media pages as well, The Paranormal Tea, all one word, on Facebook and Instagram. Give them a like, give them a follow. Whilst you're there, if you don't join us over on our social media pages for Scare Track yet, where have you been? That's where all the fun is happening, so make sure you join us on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. We're also on YouTube for all our video content, so just head over to youtube.com/ScareTrack so you can keep up to date with all our latest scare cams, movie reviews, our news segments, absolutely everything over on the YouTube page. And you can find everything Scare Track on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk. That's scaretrack.co.uk. That takes you direct to all our podcast platforms, our YouTube page, our merchandise page, absolutely anything you need Scare Track and Coaster Track related is over on our website. Once again, a huge thank you to Ryan and Beth for coming on. Make sure you guys check out The Paranormal Tea. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Scare Trap podcast. So, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye, folks.